The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you, never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm a friend.
Hi there. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Father. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? He is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective. My aim is to teach you how to do this. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org, or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to continue with part three of the good news regarding Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, incorrectly Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, incorrectly Matthew. So this is the first book of the Protestant New Testament Bible. So the overview, the first book in the so-called New Testament, or of the so-called New Testament in the Bible, Matthew, incorrectly Matthew, provides an authoritative account of the life, death, and resurrection of Yahushua, the anointed of Yah, incorrectly Jesus Christ. I've corrected the core translation errors and added commentary based on my personal experience and revelation. I'll share this in the next few broadcasts. This is part three. I read the next four chapters of Matthew and offer commentary, and finally we'll look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So we're looking at Book 1, The Good News According to Matthew, Part 3, starting at Chapter 8, Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Yeshua, the spokesman of Yah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This is Yeshua, Jesus, healing the sick. Now when Yeshua saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side, and a certain scribe came and said to him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Yeshua said to him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said, Adonai, suffer me to first go and bury my father. But Yahushua said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Clearly, the disposal of a corpse is not a big issue in the sight of Yah. Fancy funerals are not his will. In the case of a believer, the spirit is already in heaven. So if you're an unbeliever, you're going to come back to your corpse. So a nice funeral might be worth having before they chuck you and the corpse into the grave, if you haven't managed to get off the corpse onto some family member who's embraced the corpse. So, if you're not a believer, folks, it's a huge problem. Father didn't plan for there to be unbelievers. He created us to be his friends. He created us to have a deep personal relationship with him. He created us to do things together with him, not to deny his existence and then somehow think that at the end of our lives something nice is going to happen. And I have to tell you, being stuck in the grave forever or in the remains of the crematorium oven or maybe on the shark that ate you or with the corpse in the mudslide that killed you or whatever, is, doesn't appeal to me, to be honest. But if that's your idea of how you want to spend eternity, it's over to you. And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Adonai, save us, we perish. And he says to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little emunah, little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? It's important to note that it was the Spirit of Yah on and in Yeshua, and his deep knowledge of his authority as a believer that allowed Yeshua to calm the storm. But also that this is a less dramatic miracle that when Yah parted the Red Sea at the command of Moshe, in both cases the miracle was performed by the Spirit of Yah at the instruction of a human being. And it's so important to understand that you can come to a place of being so close to Yah and so filled with his Spirit that you, whoever you are, wherever you are, with a few years' effort, can calm the storm just like that. If you want to, if you're willing to make the sacrifices, if you're willing to lay down your life and say, Father Yah, I want to be your friend, please help me. Verse 28, and when he has come to the other side into the country of the Girgashites, there met him two demon-possessed coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Yeshua, thou son of Yah? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, unheard of many swine feeding pigs. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. And when they would come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Yeshua. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart from their coasts. So the Girgashites is the land of the people descended from the fifth son of Canaan. Refer Bereshith 15:21. Elsewhere written, one man, an example of the inconsistency. So this, elsewhere it's written that there was one madman. It's an example of the inconsistencies in the Bible that point to the book or collection of books being a useful history book recorded by fallible men. This is not a reason to reject the book as a useful resource, and it is not necessary to engage in foolish apologetics to try and explain why the two men was one man, was two men, was one man. I mean, there's some silly stuff out there. It's just a good history book, folks. Chapter 9, and he, Yeshua, entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the paralytics, lying on a bed. And Yeshua, seeing their emunah, faith, said to the sick of the paralytics, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Yeshua, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For what is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Adam has authority on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the paralytics, 'Arise, take up thy bed, and go to thine house.' And he arose and departed to his house." It's important to understand that fundamentally blasphemy is towards Yah and relates to taking Yah's name in vain or insulting him, thereby breaking the third commandment, which says, "Thou shalt not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, in vain." So having a yahoo.com email address is blasphemy. Today, the word blasphemy is used much more widely as misappropriate by religious people, for example, relating to people speaking ill of Yeshua or Muhammad and such like. By misappropriating the third commandment like this, these people are in their turn sinning, a classic case of reacting to the speck in the other person's eye while ignoring the plank in their own eye. This is particularly the case where people use this wider definition as a pretext for murder. Folks, saying ugly things about Yeshua or about Muhammad or whoever is not blasphemy. Saying Yah, Y-A, instead of yes, is breaking the third commandment. That's blasphemy. Yahweh in German is blasphemy. Yahoo.com is blasphemy. Taking the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, in vain. Son of man is more accurately son of Adam, in other words, a human being. So what that means is that Yeshua is walking in the authority of Adam. He is a descendant of Adam. Frequently in the King James Version, you will find power rather than authority, but more accurately, Adam was given authority on the earth. He gave this to Satan by obeying and submitting to Satan. But Yeshua, who had no sin, was not subject to Satan's authority and had Adam's authority, inciting Son of Man. And remember that Satan tempted Yeshua three times, and Yeshua did not submit to Satan. Verse 8, "But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and Kavod glorified Yah, which had given such authority to men. And as Yeshua passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matiyahu sitting at the receipt of custom, and said to him, 'Follow me.' And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Yeshua sat at meat in the house, behold, many republicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciple, 'Why eats your master with publicans and sinners?' And when Yeshua heard that, he said to them, 'They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go you and learn what that meaneth: I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.' Matiyahu was an accountant or bookkeeper, and therefore relatively precise. And thus Yah says that Matiyahu's account is the more accurate of the four good news accounts, the four gospels. Disciple is a taught one, a student, a follower. The word has the same root as discipline. So a disciple is one who is disciplined in the following of Yeshua and Yah. Many believers are not disciplined, and this is a big issue for Yah and also for Yeshua. An example of a Yehuda law that is not part of the core laws that Yah expects believers to adhere to, this thing about eating with sinners, etc. Yah has very clearly said to me that the laws that matter are the Ten Commandments. See the previous notes on this in the introduction. Mercy could also be compassion. Sacrifice could also be offering, and it's giving up something that costs to give. And then came the disciples of Yehuchanan, John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not?" And Yeshua said to them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with him? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth to an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old wineskins, else the wineskins break, and the wine runneth out, and the wineskins perish. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." So what you pick up from this is that Yeshua clearly understands how things would end his time on earth. The King James Version has bottles instead of wineskins, which really doesn't make a lot of sense, which is one of many examples where the language of the King James is a bit lacking. But it's not a core issue. The core issue is that Yah's name is completely missing from just about every English Bible and every Bible derived from the English. And that's what I'm correcting with my version. Verse 18, while he spake these things to them, behold, there came a certain ruler and bowed down to him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Yeshua rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may touch but his garment, I shall be whole. But Yeshua turned him about. When he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy minna, faith, has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So the point there is that the power of the Spirit of Yah was in and on Yeshua. And he felt some of that power flow from him into that woman and heal her. He wasn't angry with her. He wasn't cross with her. He was blessed by the fact that she had the emunah to reach out and touch him, just the hem of his garment. And then there's an aside to that. You could be like that too, like Yeshua. That's what Yah wants from you. You can reach out. You can turn to him right now and say, Father Yah, I want to be able to do the works that Yeshua did and greater works. Help me to get there. Start fasting, start praying, start worshiping. There's a lot of information on the website to help you to get there. Verse 23, and when Yeshua came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said to them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Yeshua departed thence, two blind men follow him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Yeshua saith to them, believe you that I'm able to do this? And they said, yea, Adonai. And they touched their eyes, saying, according to your emunah, be it to you. And their eyes were opened. And Yeshua strictly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread about his fame in all the country. Just aside, the word maid, the one that was raised from the dead, it's a young girl, younger than a Bethula, in other words, before puberty. It's important to understand that Yeshua was seen by the people around him to be a son of Yosef and therefore a son of David, as per the genealogy that we read in the first broadcast. Again, I say to you, you could be in those shoes. You could heal those blind eyes. You could raise that young girl from the dead. The only thing that's stopping you is, number one, a decision that you want to do it, and number two, doing what it takes to get there, which includes cleaning up your life, committing your life to Father, getting filled with His Spirit to overflowing, fasting repeatedly to get to that level of anointing, and then go out and do it. There is nothing stopping this, you from being such a person, except you. 32, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Yeshua went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore, Yah of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into this harvest. There's a tendency amongst modern day believers who disagree with another believer relative to something they did not understand to attribute this to Satan. In the extreme case, they blaspheme the spirit of Yah and run the risk of being utterly rejected. I've had a number of situations where I have disagreed or challenged people on things that they've said or done, or they've challenged me on things that I've written, and they come back and tell me I'm listening to Satan or that I'm acting on behalf of Satan. Folks, that is extremely, extremely, extremely dangerous. If you are mistaken and that person is being led by the Spirit of Yah and doing things by the Spirit of Yah and you attribute it to Satan, that is blasphemy, and that could cause you to be utterly rejected and lose all hope of going to heaven. And then moved with compassion. It's a fundamental attribute of Yeshua reported today by people who have had so-called near-death experiences. See the article, further collection of important videos that are worth watching on the website. Scroll down towards the bottom of the list there. Chapter 10. When he called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 emissaries are these: the first Shimon, who's called Kepha, and Andre, his brother, Jacob, the son of Zebedee, and Yahuchanan, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthiahu, the tax collector, Jacob, the son of Alphai, and Labai, whose surname was Tadai, Shimon the Canaanite, and Yehuda from Kirioth, who also betrayed him. Apostle in the King James is emissary in Hebrew. Bartholomew is Hebrew instead of King James Bartholomew. The Aramaic roots meaning son of Talmai, the farmer. Talmai is a Hebrew name meaning abounding in furrows, indicating as a prosperity as a farmer. Toma is the Hebrew instead of Thomas in the King James. Alphai is Hebrew instead of Alphaeus. Labai instead of Labaius. Tadai instead of Thaddeus. And from Kerioth in Hebrew instead of Iscariot in the King James, a town in the south of the area called Yehuda, after the people of Yehuda, which means Yah be praised. Again, notice this is before Yeshua died, before the new covenant, and he gave authority, he imparted the Spirit to these 12 men, and he sent them out. These were old, so-called Old Testament prophets. They were not New Testament prophets. They were operating under the covenant of Moshe, Moses. You can do it, my friend. Verse 5, these 12 Yeshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Hagoyim, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Note that the prohibition on the Hagoyim, the nations, and Samaritans was a tactical necessity. They had gone to those people rather than the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They would have been totally rejected by the leaders of Israel at that time, and Yeshua could not have accomplished his mission, which was to lead a life without sin, restore truth, and die a terrible death at the hands of the Yehuda. The scripture says the reins of heaven, the translation called the scriptures, says the reign of the heavens instead of the kingdom of heaven. Alternatively, one could say the realm of heaven. However, kingdom is well understood, and I do not see a strong reason to change it, so I've left it as being the kingdom of heaven. Note that here under the old covenant, the covenant through Moshe, the disciples were able to heal the sick and raise the dead. It's so important to understand that this is not why Yeshua had to die. And it's so important to understand that these were just ordinary men who had been filled with the Spirit of Yah, had some teaching, and had some emunah, faith, and just went out and did it. As I said a minute ago, you can do it too. Verse 11, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Amorah, Sodom and Gomorrah, in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Sodom in the King James, Sodom, Gomorrah, Amorah, wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We saw a minute ago that Yeshua was moved with compassion. Father, that folks, that is Yah's inherent way. He's not vengeful and ugly and the way some people make him out to be. He's gentle and kind and loving. And Yeshua was gentle. He was stern and he was firm. And he spoke authoritatively, and at times he was angry. But fundamentally, he was moved by compassion. And part of getting to a place where you can minister to others is for you to be moved by compassion. You're not going to get the anointing. You're not going to get filled with the Spirit if you have an ugly attitude to other people. Verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the Sanhedrins, the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, congregations. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Hagoyim. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So Sanhedrin is council in the King James, but Sanhedrin is a very specific Jewish religious governing body. The principle of being filled with the Spirit and being given utterance. As a general principle, I do very little preparation for meetings. I trust the Spirit of Yah to lead me. When I prepare these broadcasts, I trust the Spirit of Yah to lead me. I don't sit down and meticulously in fine detail script everything that I'm going to say about a particular passage. It's an extremely important principle. Once one is filled with the Spirit of Yah in situations relating to ministry, and as I say, in business, Yah will give you utterance by His Spirit in you. One must endure to the end in order to enter heaven. Folks, it's a marathon. There's a passage in, it might be in Corinthians, I'm not sure offhand, where Paul compares it to a marathon, the walk with Yah. You have to keep going to the end. It's not trivial. If you're a high achiever, this is the ultimate challenge. 23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee you to another. Verily I say to you, you shall not have gone over all the cities of Israel till the Son of Adam be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Adonai, Lord. they've called the master of the house Beelzebul, Satan, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Beelzebub in the King James is the Lord of the Flies, the Prince of Devils, a reference to Satan. The one that can destroy the spirit and the flesh in the lake of fire and brimstone is Yah. So therefore you should fear Yah, you should fear Yah's judgment. There's a very clearly defined set of rules that are called the Ten Commandments. If you keep those Ten Commandments, if you walk upright with Yah, if you have a relationship with Yah, you will be rewarded at the end of your life. If you break those commandments wholesale as a believer, you will end up in hell, tormented and tortured to pay the price for your unconfessed sin. And that's not being ugly. Yeshua went through a terrible death to give you an easy way of repenting of your sin. If you don't avail yourself of that, why should you get off lightly? You really don't want to die as a believer with sin in your life, unconfessed, unrepented sin. 29, and not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore. You have more value than many sparrows. Whosoever shall therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance with his father, and daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be of their own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his stake and followeth me is not worthy of me, and he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. It's another important principle. We must be willing to lose material things in favor of serving Yah and eternal life. Let me balance that out. Yah does want you to have nice stuff, but not at the expense of your service to him, not at the expense of your ministry, not expense of your at the expense of your love for him, not at the expense of your obedience to him. He's looking to you to gird up your loins and make a difference on this earth. And he will reward you hugely if you do that. I can't stress that enough. There is a massive reward up there for you if you will just climb in and do this. Verse 40. He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. In other words, Yah. He that receives a spokesman of Yah or a prophet in the name of a spokesman of Yah shall receive a spokesman of Yah's reward, and he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say to you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Yeshua had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Again, see the emphasis that Yeshua is always pointing those who follow him towards Yah and not to himself. This is a principle that is little understood. If one receives a spokesman, a prophet, as a spokesman, one will be rewarded accordingly. I've been rejected by many people who clearly do not understand this principle. One should be cautious about who you reject. If somebody comes to you and says, Father's given me a message for you, and you reject that, and it was from you, you're not just rejecting the person with the message, you're rejecting Yah. remember that everything we do is recorded in a book by our guardian messenger, guardian angel. And all will be reviewed and brought to account when we appear before the judgment seat of Yah, and are judged in terms of our unrepented sin and in terms of our contribution towards Yah and his kingdom. And remember also that as a believer, you are filled with the set-apart spirit, the portion of Yah's spirit that is given to you at first belief and remains with you for eternity, such that Yah is in you. And I can't stress this enough. If you go and do unrighteous things, you're taking Yah there. I had a situation a few days ago with a guy who's been walking quite close with me, had a lapse, and went into a casino. I said to him, how can you take Yah into that place? It's worse if you go to a brothel or something. You have to be conscious of the fact as a believer that you are a temple of the Spirit of Yah. He's in you, and he's going to remind you of all of these things one day when you come before his judgment seat. Now, when Yehuchanan, the immerser, the Baptist, John the Baptist, had heard in the prison the works of the Anointed One of Yah, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Yeshua answered and said to them, go and show Yehuchanan again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Yeshua began to say to the multitudes concerning Yehuchanan, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Just going back in this message from Yehuchanan, it's a classic example of an anointed servant who's been given a message, bringing some work of Yah into existence, and then doubts because it doesn't happen exactly the way they thought it would. The evidence was clearly there for Yehuchanan. It is likely that he was looking at these developments through the traditional Yehudai Jewish lens, that the expected anointed one to come, the Messiah, and create an earthly rule. So the wisdom of the age was that the Messiah would come and destroy and cast out the Romans, etc. That was a complete misreading of passages in the writings. Verse 8, but what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out for? To see a spokesman of Yah, yea, I say to you, more than a spokesman of Yah, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say to you, among them that are born of woman, there is not risen a greater than Yehuchanan the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of Yehuchanan the immerser until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the spokesmen of Yah and the Torah prophesied until Yehuchanan, and if you will receive it, this is Eliyahu, which was to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. This reference indicates that those who make it to heaven are more glorious and more powerful than the greatest on earth. Note here that Yehuchanan was great because of the critically important work that he did in preparing the way for Yeshua. Eliyahu in Hebrew instead of Elias in the King James, meaning my beloved mighty one is Yah. Eli is a derivative Elohim, meaning mighty one or almighty, and generally translated God in the books from Bereshith, Genesis to Malachi. Eli is a term of affection towards Yah that is used sparingly and only by those with deep relationship with Yah. Verse 16, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the markets and calling to their fellows, saying, we have piped to you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not lamented. For Yehuchanan came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man, a glutton, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe to thee, Chorazin! Woe to thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works that were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Bethsaida, Hebrew for Bethsaida, Tyre, Hebrew for Tyre, Sidon, Hebrew for Sidon. So I'm going to wrap up this piece tonight. I'll continue next week. The key thing I want to ask you right now is, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. If you've now come to belief for the first time, please pray along the following lines. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I now believe that you exist. I confess my sin of unbelief and repent of my unbelief, and I ask you to forgive my sin. I now commit my life to you, and I ask you to take me by the hand and lead me into deep relationship with you. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit and to change me and help me to become the person you want me to become. I ask you to help me find people who can help me. Help me find books, websites, articles, and other resources that will help me. I ask you to show me what I can do to actively serve you and lead others to deep personal relationship with you. I thank you for saving me. Amen. There's a period of 8 days from sincerely coming to belief for the first time, during which there's extreme grace to help you. See the article, Critical Actions on First Belief, on the website for actions that you should take immediately. And then drop me an email on james@endtimeissueministries.org so that I can help you, pray with you, counsel you, etc. Folks, I am passionate about helping you qualify for a high throne in heaven. In order to do that, I need you to become a friend of Yah. He is friendly, so it's nothing great that you say that He's your friend. The question is, are you His friend? Does He ask your opinion? Does He discuss things with you? Does He participate in your life in a way that you have a partnership with Him? Or do you just give Him a few minutes of your time once a week or once a month to go to church or mosque or synagogue or whatever? And folks, this is not about groups of people gathering together 5 times a day or whatever. It's about you having a deep personal relationship with Father. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter where you've come from. Doesn't matter your tribe, your nation, whatever. Doesn't matter if you're an outright Satanist. He will take you by the hand and lead you. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can help connect you with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. This article broadcast will be on YouTube and in LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's being live streamed. YouTube, it'll be up within an hour or so of the end of this broadcast. I will be publishing this to my mailing list and to my WhatsApp group Saturday after this broadcast. Folks, it doesn't matter whether you're Indian, African, Asian, American, European, Caucasian, whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're a Satanist, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Buddhist, whether you're whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you make a deep personal commitment to him and allow him to turn your life around to become the person he wants you to be. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be educated. You just need to make a really sincere decision. Father Yah, take me by the hand and lead me. Doesn't matter if you've been a religious person for the last 40 years or 30 years or whatever. Today you can enter into a new relationship with him. So for those of you who are regulars, I'm going to say good night. For those of you who are here for the first or second time, please hold on. There's a bit more I want to share with you. So to those who are leaving, good night. In closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 31 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. There's a lot of information there. The ETI version of the Bible, which is what I'm reading to you, with correction of key translation errors, is at the ETI Bible version page on the top of the website. The recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far on search on Google for, quote, relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. There are about four podcast websites with all the back issues. They're also on the website. Transcripts are on the transcripts of broadcast page together with audio files. Books with teachings from 1998 to May 2019 are at the books for printing page, A4 and A5 formatted, ready for printing with covers. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article, keyword, cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The article, keyword, cloud is literally thousands of words in alphabetical order. If you're looking for something very specific, that's the place to look. So I'm going to say to you good night. It's been a pleasure to have you on the program, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. Thank you so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you what you understand about the history of Yeshua, the Anointed of Yah, incorrectly called Jesus Christ. If you're not aware of his life and teachings, or you don't have a deep understanding of what really happened there, then please listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com internet radio or Talk4TV.com internet TV. Also visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks so much.